We shall now turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and we shall consider verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, and we shall read again at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, we have here today one of the great gospel texts of the scripture. It's a tremendous invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus is saying here today, come. Now there's a future day when he will say, depart. That'll be a terrible day. Depart. Go away from me, ye cursed, ye workers of iniquity, into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. But today he's saying, come. The invitation is there. The door is open. Our Lord Jesus is saying, come unto me. I wonder, have you come? Or are you still far away, wandering away, unconcerned, making excuses, putting it off? Today is the day of salvation. Come. Come before it's too late. And Jesus says to you, depart. Come with your burdens. Come whatever these burdens are. There's a promise. A promise to you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's addressed to the sinner, and it's addressed to the saint. Whatever's troubling you, whatever worries you have, whatever burdens you're bearing, whatever temptations you're going through, are you troubled? Are you anxious? Are you apprehensive? Are you frightened? Are you guilty? Come. Come unto me. Come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. The devil's yoke is heavy. The world's yoke is heavy. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a blessing to bear it. Look at the context. Verse 20, we're told that he began to upbraid, to criticize, to condemn the cities where he had done most of his mighty works because they repented not. The message of John the Baptist, of whom we read earlier in the chapter, was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sins. Give them up. Come and be washed from your sins. Put behind you your old life. Start a new life. That was the message of John the Baptist. Repent, for Christ is here. He's coming. He's at hand. And then when the Lord Jesus himself appeared on the scene and began his public ministry, it was the same message he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Every man and woman in this world needs to repent. Because all of us by nature are on the broad road to hell. We've got to turn. Turn out of that broad road and take the narrow road that leads to heaven. We've got to go in the opposite direction. Repent. So the Lord Jesus began to upbraid the cities where he had done most of his mighty works. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! These places where he had healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, made the lame to walk. Woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, for the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. These pagan cities, idolatrous cities, Tyre and Sidon, but it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Woe unto thee, Capernaum! Thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Woe unto thee, Capernaum, the place where Jesus had come and he had dwelt there. He grew up born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth. But then when he began his public ministry, he moved to Capernaum and he was living there. What a privilege Capernaum had. The Son of God, the great prophet, the great priest, the great king, dwelling amongst them. And they heard his teaching. Time and time again they heard his sermons. Oh, they thought of the wickedness of Sodom. What about you? You in Glasgow. You who are in this church. You who've heard the gospel since you were a child. You who've got the whole Bible in your hands in a language that you can read and understand. You who've had examples set before you of lovely Christian people who've been warned and encouraged. Woe unto you! Maybe you're very good at criticizing the lifestyle of others. And maybe you talk about these Sodomites with disgust. But will it be more tolerable for the Sodomites on the day of judgment than for you? Quite a thought, isn't it? A worse hell for free church continuing people than for the Sodomites and the lesbians and the transsexuals and the others who've rejected the God-ordained pattern for marriage and for sex given to us in the scriptures. And then Jesus begins to pray, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast hid these things from the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. The leaders of the church. I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the ministers and the professors of theology, and hast revealed them to children. Are you one of these children whose eyes have been opened to appreciate
the good things of God, the glorious gospel of redeeming grace. You know, isn't it wonderful? You don't have to be highly educated. You don't have to be a very clever person. You don't have to have a wonderful pedigree and background. You don't have to be special in any way. All you need is to receive the gospel, and you're saved.
All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Father, the Son, you cannot know the Father unless the Son reveals him to you. And everything we know through the Son of God. The Son is the great Word, the great Prophet. Well, turning to the verse in front of us, having warned the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, having spoken of the glory of the gospel, Jesus then says to those around him, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So first of all today, you have burdens. You have cares. All of us do. And some of these burdens can be intense and crippling. Maybe you're struggling today to carry the burdens that are upon your back. Maybe nobody knows about your burdens. Maybe you've not spoken to anyone about them. But God knows. God knows everything. There are burdens that we carry that we cannot share with any other human being. But we can share them with God. God knows and understands. Well, first of all, there's the unconverted. They have a burden, a huge burden. The worst burden, a burden of unforgiven sin. And it's a burden that is growing every day of their lives in this world. We're born with a burden because we're born sinners. And every day of our life since we entered this world, we're sinning. Sinning as children, sinning as young people, sinning as we grow up, sinning in mature life. Sin is easy, sin is natural. And sin is added to every day. And the burden grows bigger and bigger. And that burden will crush some people down to hell, to the bottomless pit, and be crushing them forever. But there's a way of release, a way of deliverance. Christ delivers. You know, the two worst sins according to the Bible, what are they? What's the worst sins? The two worst sins according to the Bible are unbelief and hypocrisy. Nothing got Christ so worked up as hypocrisy. He absolutely hated it. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! How he hated hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is so common in church circles. And on one occasion, Jesus spoke of hell as the place of the hypocrites. He shall appoint you your portion with the hypocrites. And the other sin He shall appoint you your portion with the unbelievers, he said. Luke 12 and 46. Unbelief is the one unforgivable sin. Unforgivable. Every other sin, murder can be forgiven, rape can be forgiven, child abuse can be forgiven. But unbelief will never be forgiven. Because the only way to be forgiven is by believing in Jesus. It's only through faith that we can be saved. And if we don't have faith, whatever else we have, we can't be saved. The unconverted have a huge burden, a burden of sins. Remember Christian in the classic book by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. Remember the man in the city of destruction, in that doomed city. He has a burden on his back, a burden that's getting heavier and heavier. And he was longing for that burden to be taken away. And the only way it could be taken away was when he came to the cross. And that's the way it is with men and women today. Every man and woman in this world is a burden. And unless you've come to the cross and got rid of it, it's an increasing burden. A burden that crushes you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, heavily burdened. Come to me. But as I said earlier, this verse is not just relevant for the unbeliever, the unconverted. It's also relevant for the Christian. And as Christians, we have our burdens. And some Christians have huge burdens. Maybe you've got a burden with your health. Maybe you're suffering pain, weakness. Maybe you've been told you've got some terminal illness. A burden of health. Maybe it's a loved one who's unwell, getting worse. It's a burden. Perhaps you have a burden for your family. Maybe children going astray. Maybe a burden in your marriage. Maybe nobody else knows about it, and yet there's the stress, the strain, there's tension, there's these times of argument and fallout and sulkiness and unpleasantness, and you wonder, can you cope? How can it be sorted out? Perhaps a worry about finances. Maybe you're spending more than you're earning. Maybe a certain investment has gone wrong. Maybe some scam has come your way. You're worried about these things. Maybe there's a fallout amongst friends. Your neighbors, your friends, they somehow have turned against you and you can't sort it out. These things are a burden. Perhaps it's a spiritual burden. You feel you've backslidden. Maybe you feel you feel guilty because there's a sin in your life. And you find it hard to overcome it. An addiction, a temptation, a besetting sin. Perhaps it's doubts and fears. Maybe you feel a failure and you've let God down. And you're burdened. You feel unfruitful. Maybe it's mental illness. What a burden mental illness is to some. That dark cloud hanging over them. That black dog on their shoulder constantly. And they can't get rid of it. And they don't know why. And just there's heaviness in their spirit. And there's heaviness. They can hardly get up in the morning. And all day long there's this weight and this blackness and darkness, and
burden. There are so many different burdens. You've got your burden. I have burdens too. And here is an invitation to those who have burdens. So in the second place, an invitation to come with your burden. Sinner, come in repentance. Come in faith. Come to the cross. Come to the sacrifice that was offered for sin. Come to Jesus with the burden of your guilt. Remember the truth that Scripture says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So no matter how big that burden, that enormous burden of your sins, these hundreds and thousands and millions of sins are, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. What an amazing truth that is. So come to Christ with that burden, and you will have the burden taken away. Come with your cares, with your worries, come to Christ. Come in prayer. Be careful for nothing. Be full of cares for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Do you want these cares removed? Bring them to the Lord in prayer, and leave them with the Lord in prayer. Cast them upon the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. And he shall thee sustain. Come in prayer. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, put it upon the Lord. And the peace of God. What an amazing thing is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The world knows nothing of it. A wonderful, deep, rich peace. A peace that flows like a big, deep river. Never-ending peace. Eternal peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep and guard and protect your heart through Jesus Christ. Come unto Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Everything through Jesus. You worry about assurance. Come again to Christ today. Daily repent of your sins. Daily believe in Jesus. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, he says. So maybe I never came in the past. Come today. I come today. Therefore I know I will be received. You feel such a poor Christian. Well, come. Come to him who can enable you to live the Christian life. Come and ask for help. He promises to help. Confess your backslidings. He will heal you. He will pardon you. Don't make excuses, but come in all your weakness, and he will restore you. Perhaps it's these dark clouds of depression. But again, come. Come to him. Seek healing from him. The one who opened the eyes of the blind, gave hearing to the deaf and speech to the dumb, who cleansed and cured the lepers. Can he not cure you of your depressions? Of course he can. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Come. Come to the Almighty. He's able to help. Cast yourself upon him
Let him take that burden off your shoulders, the burden of guilt, of fear, of failure, of weakness, of despair. An invitation then to come. And then, thirdly, we have here a promised rest. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinner, come to Christ. Rest is promised. Whatever you've done in your life, come to Christ. Whatever you failed to do in your life up till now, come today to Christ. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come with that burden of sin and remember the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How wonderful. He who knew no sin, who never sinned, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How amazing. The just suffered for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, the sinless for the sinful, so that he might bring us to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Ho, everyone that's burdened, come to the great burden bearer. He'll carry it for you. Sinner, come to Christ. The wicked is like a troubled sea, casting up mire and dirt, constantly moving, constantly troubled. But the righteous are at peace. Come, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Fellow Christian, there's a promised rest here. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Think of Hebrews chapter 4, the way it speaks of rest, and the troubled Israels in the wilderness coming into the rest of the land of Canaan. But if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day. It was a partial rest, but it was only a picture of the fuller rest that we have through Jesus, who gives us rest, yes. Rest in this life, and Sabbath. Sabbath is a rest, isn't it? A rest from the week, a rest from the work of the week and the cares of the week and the pleasures of the week that are so burdensome themselves. But the Sabbath is a picture for us of the eternal Sabbath, the great Sabbath that remains for the people of God. Eternal rest. Come, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall thee sustain. He shall sustain you. He shall support you. Cast it upon him, and don't take it back again. Just leave it there with him. He gives health. He gives wealth. He gives prosperity. He gives blessings. He gives what is good. What is good the Lord will give, and only what is good. Good unto all men is the Lord, and especially good to all those who come unto him, who look unto him, who trust in him. Lay hold of the promises, because all the promises of the Bible are for you who come to Christ. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Every promise of the Bible is for you who trusts in Jesus. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why in me so dismayed? Trust God, for I shall praise him yet.
His countenance is mine aid. Trust God. Don't be cast down. Claim these promises. Take them to yourself. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And then finally notice that there's a duty laid upon us here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some people think that becoming a Christian, you become a Christian and that's it, you've arrived. There's nothing more to do. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you. So there is a certain yoke that we have to carry, a certain burden that we have to bear. Some people think you accept Jesus as Savior and don't have to accept him as Master. But no, you can't have him as your Savior unless you also have him as your Lord. You receive him as Savior. You receive him as prophet to teach you, as priest to intercede for you, and as king to rule over you. You give your heart to him and your life to him to obey him. Take my yoke upon you. Follow me. Learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Yes, he humbled himself and he became a servant in order to save us. And now he's saying to us that we have to become humble and servants to serve him. We are to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And you shall find rest unto your souls. The rest of the Christian is not doing nothing. Just like the rest of the Sabbath day, it's not a day to be spent in idleness. The Sabbath day should be the busiest day of the week. Busy in spiritual things. Busy in worshipping God in public and private. It's a terrible travesty of the Sabbath. A terrible waste of this best day of the week if we spend it in inactivity. It's a day for caring for your soul and looking after your soul and the souls of others. Take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you. Learn from me. I'm a servant. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. A couple of months ago I retired and people asked me, how do you find your retirement? And the idea seems to be that you retire and you put your feet up and you sit back and you just have an easy time of it and you do nothing. Well, what could be more miserable than doing nothing? That's not right. And that's not for man. Remember the paradise of the Garden of Eden. The beautiful garden that God made, and everything was lovely and perfect. And man had work to do. Work is essential for us. And there were Adam and Eve working away, looking after the garden. And so it is for each one of us. While we've got life and breath, we've got work to do. It's not a matter of inactivity or laziness. No, we must work while it is today, for the night comes, the night of death, when no man can work. So let us be up and working and active. There's blessing in working. Take my yoke upon you, take my cross upon you, and I'll take the heavier part of it, says Jesus. I'll carry it with you. And you love the lighter part. And you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Instead of that heavy
crippling burden that you're carrying. Carry my burden. It's fitted for you. It's a nice, easy burden to carry. It's a blessed burden to carry. It's a burden that is restful and enjoyable to carry. So, friends, tremendous invitation here. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray.